Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2516, with the release date of Friday, January 16th, 2026, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. U.S. financial traders renew their call to use the HF bands. RF noise grounds flights in Greece. And California hams have extra large plans for winter field day. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2516 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
In our top story, a group representing seven financial trading firms is pressing the U.S. Federal Communications Commission to respond to their petition submitted almost 3 years ago asking for permanent allocation of HF frequencies for data transmissions. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has those details.
The Shortwave Modernization Coalition is pressing the FCC for an answer to its petition, which was filed in the spring of 2023. The group is seeking the authorization to transmit on the bands between 2 MHz and 25 MHz under Part 90 of the FCC rules. A number of the bands being sought either include or are adjacent to amateur radio bands. The coalition's original filing drew substantial opposition from amateur radio operators and the ARRL, citing the potential for interference. The ARRL said in 2024 the IARU's monitoring system detected what was believed to be HF trading interference on the amateur portion of 20 meters. The U.S. Coast Guard also objected to the petition, saying additional traffic would raise noise floors for everyone. Last year, three of the firms were given FCC approval as experimental licensees. They were prohibited from charging fees or receiving payments for anything related to their on-the-air operations. The coalition believes that granting permanency will solidify their status in business and will not create interference, as feared, because the technology exists to locate open channels. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Noise on the frequency is bothersome enough when you're attempting to contact a much-wanted DX, but noise on frequencies used by commercial aircraft can shut commercial airspace down, as it did earlier this month in Greece. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has that report.
Flights into Greece were temporarily grounded, delayed, or diverted this month after an unexplained noise was heard over radio frequencies that are used to communicate with aircraft. The air traffic radio blackout caused a loss of all frequencies, according to reports from the Association of Greek Air Traffic Controllers. The Hellenic Civil Aviation Authority told the media that the cause was a continuous involuntary emission, disrupting communications on the 4th of January. Authorities said they were able to rule out any likelihood of a deliberate attack, but they were continuing their investigation into what they called an unprecedented outage. It was suspected that the two-hour standstill was the result of some unknown technical issue. A report by the BBC said that one theory reported was that a station in the mountains near Athens had failed. Greece's Ministry of Infrastructure and Transport said there are plans to upgrade the Greek's aging air navigation systems and have that modernization in place by 2028. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The ham who helped grow and shape the national event Hamfest India has become a silent key. We have those details from John Williams, VK4JJW.
An enthusiastic CW operator who was also widely known for having a warm and dignified voice on the air, Adolf Shepard, VU2AF, believed in extending friendship through the airwaves. Those who joined him on the evening HFNet, AirNet India, looked forward to the welcome they always received from him as net control. One radio operator, Sandeep Barua, VU2MUE, wrote in a Facebook post that Adolf had a strong and positive presence on the net. He said, quote, "To countless listeners, it felt as though he was attempting to unite the entire nation of India through a single 30-minute radio transmission, binding distant operators together in a shared moment of communication and purpose," end quote. Adolf's enthusiasm and hard work is also credited with having transformed a modest regional hamfest into what is now known as Hamfest India, a popular national event. Adolf, who was first licensed in 1966, was reported to be silent key on the 7th of January. No other details were given. On his page on QRZ.com, he described himself as, quote, "one of the few old-timers still on the air," end quote. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Family, friends, and followers of the popular Lennox and the Ham Shack podcast are grieving the loss of its host, Russ Woodman, K5TUX. Russ became a silent key on the 14th of January. His death came 16 days after hospitalization for complications from influenza. His wife, Cheryl, W5MOO, who posted daily updates on his condition on Facebook, announced his death. The news hit family, friends, and his followers hard. On his YouTube channel, Russ tells viewers that although he first began Lennox and the Ham Shack to give amateurs options beyond using closed-source software, his efforts gained momentum and expanded into podcasts, video tutorials, and other activities. As his constituency grew, he proudly called Lennox and the Ham Shack, quote, "a podcast, a state of mind, and a phenomenon," end quote. For more than 15 years, his podcast has been co-hosted by numerous fellow amateurs, including his wife, Cheryl. Russ, who was first licensed in 1993, was 56. Changes are proposed in the UK that would allow frequency sharing by certain devices, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the UK, the regulator Ofcom has proposed changes in radio spectrum that would make it Europe's first country to implement the sharing of the same frequencies between two different technologies. The proposal looks specifically at the upper portion of the 6 GHz band, where priority usage would be given in one portion to Wi-Fi devices such as routers and another to mobile devices such as cell masts. Ofcom said the move to this so-called prioritised spectrum would most directly benefit businesses, households and the UK economy in general. The change would affect indoor and lower power Wi-Fi and any higher power Wi-Fi under the control of an automated frequency control system as protection against interference. The regulator will be accepting comments on the proposal no later than the 20th of March. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Meanwhile, in the U.S., the 6 GHz band is getting new users. They're a new category of unlicensed devices, as we hear from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The Federal Communications Commission intends to approve unlicensed operation on 6 GHz by a new category of devices known as GVP devices, which stands for Geofenced Variable Power. The devices are commonly used with short-range hotspots, indoor navigation, automation, and augmented or virtual reality devices. A number of tech companies, such as Apple, Microsoft, and Qualcomm, have been advocating for the move. The FCC will grant the devices a higher power than previously permitted for other unlicensed devices and require them to use geofencing systems so they do not interfere with radio astronomers and fixed microwave links. The FCC vote is set for the 29th of January. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world. This week, we welcome the Caribbean Amateur Radio News Network, which carries our newscast on Thursdays at 10:30 UTC on 7.139 MHz. While some amateur radio groups in North America are getting ready for Winter Field Day, the cold weather equivalent of the ARRL's annual emergency preparedness in the summer, one club in California is taking the exercise a few steps further. Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB, has those details.
The Tehachapi Amateur Radio Association, AC6EE, is calling the event the inaugural Wintertide Disaster Outreach. This year's exercise on January 24th is combining all the basics of this important amateur radio preparedness drill with roles for the public safety and disaster response agencies that they customarily work with during crises. That means the Salvation Army, local search and rescue, and representatives from the city of Tehachapi will be among those on hand. The group's field day coordinator, Teresa Scott, W5ILP, and its public affairs officer, Micah Martin, KN6VUT, told the Tehachapi News that including the community partners simply made sense this year, since they are part of the real-time response team with the HAMs when calamity strikes. The group is also hoping that bringing this expanded public visibility to Winter Field Day might also inspire more people, including spectators who come to learn more to pursue their amateur radio licenses. Micah told the newspaper that the Winter Field Day Association, which supports this exercise every January, was not aware of any other Winter Field Day events that had planned such a wide-ranging involvement this year. It's being done for a good purpose, according to Teresa, who told the newspaper, quote, "We really want to encourage people to get on board with this. It can be a life-saving tool," end quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
One of the many things visitors can look forward to at Hamcation next month in Orlando, Florida, is using a digipeater dedicated to users of APRS. Jack Parker, W8ISH, gives us those details.
If you're visiting the Hamcation Fairgrounds between the 13th and 15th of February, and you're bringing along an APRS-enabled device, tune it to 147.585 using a path of temp 1-1. That will get you into the digipeater being set up by the Daytona Beach Amateur Radio Association, enabling you to connect with others at Hamcation, sending and receiving messages. The Daytona Group is sponsoring the digipeater activity and calling it APRS Day Out, allowing radio operators to practice the kind of networking skills that would come in handy during events like Hamcation or during a crisis. Once you're connected, your first message should, of course, be CQ to let everyone know you've arrived on the network. See more details about APRS Day Out by following the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In the world of DX, Jai DS1TUW is operating holiday style as 8Q7JI from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013, from the 18th through to the 24th of January. He'll be using mostly FT8 with some CW and SSB. Listen for him on 80 through 10 meters. Jacek SP5APW is on the air holiday style as CE7/SP5APW until the 18th of January from Chiloa Island, IOTA number SA018. He'll be on the air on the 23rd and 24th of January as CE8/SP5APW from Tierra del Fuego, IOTA number SA008. Jacek will be using FT8 and SSB on 20 through 10 meters. He'll also be on 6 meters using FT8. Soda chasers may want to listen for Brian, VK3BCM, who has FT8 activations coming up in Chile and the Falklands. He'll use the call sign CE/VK3BCM on Ciro, San Cristobal, Soda Summit CE3/SA019 on the 25th of January. In the Falklands, listen for call sign VP8EBY on the Two Sisters Summit, Soda number VP8/EF013, the site of the 1982 war with Argentina. Check Soda Watch for the activation date between 21st and 23rd of January. If possible, he'll add phone to these activations. Listen for the special event call sign DA2026SKI being used by a DARC team. Operators are on the air from the 15th of January through to the 15th of February. This event celebrates the FIS Ski Flying World Championships to be held in Oberstdorf. See QRZ.com for QSL details of all stations. Imagine more than 12,000 young people gathered wide-eyed and eager awaiting an unprecedented superstar event. There was no movie headliner or rock band on stage, but in the sky, the International Space Station, where an FM repeater was allowing a ham on the ground to make connections via amateur radio. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us about it.
The outdoor assembly of young people may well have been the largest of its kind. More than 12,000 students on hand to watch ham radio contacts being made via the International Space Station's repeater during a science and space program in Gujarat, India. The two-way contacts, arranged with support from AMSAT India and the Indian Space Research Organisation, were demonstrated by Rajesh Vagadia, VU2EXP, AMSAT India's regional coordinator. It happened in late December as the ISS passed overhead. Using a portable satellite ground station, Rajesh began calling CQ using the space station's crossband FM repeater. The first successful contact with VU2MZT in Maharashtra was heard by the students as the downlink audio was amplified through a PA system. The young crowd erupted in applause. Two other contacts followed during the space station's brief overhead pass. Writing in one of the forums on QRZ.com, Rajesh noted the significance of the moment, saying that many of the students were hearing live signals being transmitted via the space station for the first time in their lives. Rajesh, who called the size of the outdoor ham radio demonstration unprecedented, wrote, quote, "The event stands as a testament to careful planning, technical expertise, teamwork, and unwavering commitment," end quote. To watch the contacts being made, see the short YouTube clip on his channel. The link appears in the text edition of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Are you ready to write a ham radio haiku? It's easy, even if you've never written a single line of poetry in your life. Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite on-the-air activity, we'll help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether your inspired haiku will be highlighted on our website where everyone can read it. With thanks to ABC News, Amateur News Daily, Ars Technica, BBC, David Br, K7DB, DX News, 425 DX Bulletin, Ofcom, QRZ.com Forums, Radio World, Reuters, Soda Reflector, ShortwaveRadio.de, Tehachapi News, Wireless Institute of Australia, Facebook, YouTube, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners, if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. We wish all our listeners the very best for the year ahead in 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.